Well, brethren, we're very pleased at this time to have our dear, beloved Brother Buckley speak to us, to open our convention, and he has a very interesting subject. It's entitled, I Owe You. I Owe You. Brother Buckley.
Thank you, David. Very happy to be with you by the Lord's grace. Bring the Christian love and greetings, beloved, from Jackson. By the Lord's grace, I have had the privilege of being with the dear ones in Fort Worth 2 weeks ago, a very precious time. I'd never been in Fort Worth before, but believe me, I will go back again by the Lord's grace. Last week in Columbus, again, the Lord was willing to rejoice with those dear ones. And now here today, by the Lord's grace, in preparing for memorial. Also, in February, again, the Lord was willing that I was able to attend two Passover studies, different classes, one in Oakland County and the other in Piqua, which incidentally now is the Miami Valley class. And enjoying these studies, meeting with these friends, and rejoicing with them is a very precious thing. It would be nice if one could meet with a different class every week, you know, and rejoice with the brethren and speak to the brethren and just get to know one another. Could be, but we can't do that. We have our own class that we meet with mostly, and by the Lord's grace, again, rejoice together. But we all rejoice in the Lord. And so at this time, we come again in 1 week to the opportunity once more to simply say, I will remember thee. And to show it by being able to partake of the bread and the cup. It's so simple and yet so precious. But it's so much more than just eating the bread, drinking the cup. It's what's in the heart. It's what's there that really means something. And this is that which we prepare for every year. And yet, here it is, a daily proposition. The Lord has been good to us. We've had the opportunity to hear the truth, receive the truth, to live the truth. And this we do daily by His grace as much as we can. But we find ourselves falling short. And as days go by and it becomes a matter of, you look and see it, we're a little more short than we were yesterday. It seems that way. But the more contact we have with the truth, the more we see our own shortcomings. But yet with all that, by the Lord's grace, come the time in 1 week, we again can prove to Him that we will remember Him. We do love Him, and we do want to serve Him the best we can. So it is, and looking at the Christian life, and looking at it, that which is past with us, we find the need, the necessity, especially at this time, to take an accounting. To see what we've done, what we haven't done, and why we did and why we didn't, and how far we come short. And to look back, and Lord, I have completely missed the mark, but Thou knowest. And yet, again, with all that, we can come to Him, and He'll hearken unto us, and He will hear us in the thing sought. We render up a daily account. At night, when we go before the Lord, ask His forgiveness for what we have done for the day that we ought not where we've come short. And as we think about it and we speak with the Lord and realize another day, another failure, and yet at the same time, again, as I keep saying, by His grace, still we have gained something. But we have an account to render up. And we fall short. But here it is. That which is the center of the whole thing. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And He's given us the opportunity to understand this and do something about it. To go before the Heavenly Father and confess our failures. That we are unrighteous, and that we accept Christ as our personal Savior. And then take that second step. And say, here all, here, Lord, is my little all. As through our Master Jesus, as our High Priest, it's presented to God. We made our consecration. And in having made it again, as servants of God, through our Lord Jesus, we have an accounting to make. Now, in the King James Version, whenever it speaks about a servant, speaking of they who have made that consecration, if you'll note some of the other translations, it says slaves. Well, now, that's not a word that we take as, hey, it's a good word. No, a slave has a connotation of work and a master who lays it on the line, this you do, that you do, and so on and so on. But when we stop and think, the scriptural use of the word slave, as far as the Christian is concerned, it's a voluntary matter. And we volunteered for a purpose because we know our Master well enough. So He's the one we want as our Master, and we would be His slave, and we would be gladly do anything we would need to do that He would ask us to do that He would expect of us. Because in Him is our life. So recognizing, realizing this, we by His grace again seek to follow after the Master, voluntary slaves to one who is a good Master. Ah, yes. But again, we come back to the matter of an accounting of what we have done. And we can come to the blood daily and ask forgiveness of anything wherein we've come short. I would like to take a look at the Christian walk. We'd like to consider the matter of justice and what God expects. But we'd like to begin in perhaps we might call a temporal way, in that we all are in the world, though we're not of the world. And we must rub elbows with the world, and therefore, because we must needs do so, we must do it as followers of the Master. But we'd like to use as our theme text here, 13th chapter of Romans in the 8th verse. And we're only going to consider for a moment the first part of it. For the Apostle Paul tells us, owe no man anything. This is a principle which the world finds hard to live by. If we would stop a moment and think, if the world lived by that principle, the U.S. wouldn't have a $2-3 trillion debt. we would not have the problems we do have. We wouldn't have the bank failure. We wouldn't have any of the things that we have now. This simple justice of paying what one owes, we would find that the world would be so much better off. It's unbelievable. But it's not so. And therefore, because it is not, and because of selfishness and so on, we find the world in the condition it is, which will get worse before it gets better. But we'd like to consider, from the sixth volume, the words of our beloved pastor, words to live by, as far as justice is concerned, and as far as us, as Christians, Chrysanthemums, followers of the Master, that which would be expected of us, in which we trust that we follow it. The part that I would like to quote is from the sixth volume, as I have said, page 564, considering sundry earthly obligations. And the scriptures we've already given, owe no man anything, which is Romans 13:8. We quote, it would be well if all the world knew of this rule and followed it closely. And we know that in due time, just this rule will be rigidly enforced during the millennial age. But the new creature has this as its rule now. And however others may fail to recognize it and to follow it, the Lord's people should obey this instruction implicitly, which is a matter of justice that we've stated. You owe something, you pay it. He continues. In other words, if every member of the new creation should, as respects earthly things, live within his means, if he can earn but a dollar a day, he should not for a moment think of spending more than that, except upon the direct necessity, but should adapt his conditions accordingly until there be a change of more favorable circumstances. We look at that today and consider it. If he earned but a dollar a day. Today, if you earn $50 in a day's time, well, that's not all that much. But in his day, $1 earned, the suggestion is you pay or put out, your expenditures are 90 cents. Or at the very most, a dollar, no more, no less. That's it. Now, we're talking about strict justice. He continues, recognizing that the Lord's providential care is over him and all his affairs. He should, after arranging as wisely as he knows how, respecting his temporal matters, conclude that these, as well as his spiritual affairs, have been subjected to divine supervision, and that the Lord designed a blessing for him in connection with these conditions. He should, therefore, be thoroughly content with them, however trying they may be, waiting patiently on the Lord for such relief as divine love and wisdom may bring in due time. Which is a matter of taking an account of what you have, what the Lord has been privileged to allow you to earn, and manage it as well as you can. But to be not a matter of IOUs, if it is possible. In proportion as the means at our disposal are limited, all expenditures should be curtailed and brought not only down to the income, but a little less. That's the dollar you spend 90 cents. So that no matter how little we earn, a certain proportion may be laid aside either for our own future necessities or as a thank offering to the Lord, or as the apostle suggests, that we might have to give to those who are still in more needy circumstances. Let it be remembered always that trust in the Lord implies contentment, and that this means restfulness of heart. Under these conditions, bread and water, or potatoes and salt, will taste better and yield better results than far richer food, partaken in a different spirit. Trust will always imply thankfulness too, and hence, the child of God, living on the plainest of fare, should continually overflow with gratitude to the giver of all good, with full reliance in his wisdom in all the affairs of life. So simply put, in living the Christ-like life and trying to live up to justice and divine justice, if you will, what is spent is spent in the Lord. It is done with the thought in mind that we are His servants, His slaves. And this is not ours. What hast thou that thou hast not received? Nothing. It's all His. When we said, here is our little all, and our Master presented it to the Heavenly Father, no longer ours. We have not one thing. All we have is what is in this mind as a new creature, that embryo condition growing daily. Hopefully, trustfully, that it is. That's all we've got. The rest is His. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And this is what it's all about. And that's what we're remembering next Sunday. Therefore, there's no part of our life, no matter what we do, what we say, how we act, that is not affected by our consecration to the Heavenly Father. So it is a matter of an accounting. Some of us may indeed be able, by the Lord's grace, to state emphatically, we owe no man anything. That's a precious thing if we can do it. But looking at this, our day, rather than Brother Russell's day, yes. What a change has come over the world completely, and the environment we live in, the influence and all the rest of it, is so much more different than it was in his day. But Brother Russell would see this even back then. And he made the statement that if it's a necessity to borrow, you borrow no more than what you yourself may have insofar as your biggest investment, your dwelling, is concerned. But you go no further than what you are sure or reasonably sure that you can repay or pay back. Go no further than that. The matter of lending and borrowing and the necessity to borrow. Or someone comes and asks you, may I borrow a certain amount of money, whatever. Whereas, if we borrow, strict justice says, with the thought of paying that back. And that even if it's a matter you come to a point of bankruptcy, that still, whatever you can get and can pay back on that debt should be done. That is, no matter what we owe, to the greatest extent we can, we will repay. This is the thought. But where if you're on the other side and someone comes to you, a brother or one in the world, whatever, and asks, may I borrow $10, $100, $1,000, whatever it is, and you have it, and you there, they need it, and it's for something useful or good or, to help them. You lend the money hoping for nothing. That, in other words, it is now up to the integrity of whoever you have lent the money to as to whether they shall pay it back or not. That it is not a matter of, hey, I lent you $5 3 weeks ago. I want my $5. Or this is not the way that it should be. That it should be simply a matter, if you've got it and can pay or can lend it without the thought of it being given back, but simply whoever it is that borrows it, now it's up to them what they would do. But this is part of that which would be strict justice. But going back to Romans 13, they don't owe man anything. But then he finishes by saying, but to love one another. Now here we find ourselves with a debt after all. Financially, we're free and clear. We don't owe anyone anything. And yet he says, but. Whenever there's a but with it, then things change. And yes, here we go. But to love one another. We can indeed be free and clear, debt-free, and still owe something which is more difficult to pay than money any day. Love for one another. Now, the apostle here says one another, we believe that he indeed is pointing out, brethren, to love one another. How do you pay something like that? How is it possible to do so? Well, what I'd like to do is to consider a parable in the 18th chapter of Matthew's, starting from 21 to 35. It is a parable that has to do with forgiving, which the Master speaks of forgiving 70 times 7 if it's necessary, when the Apostle asks, how many times should we forgive? But we won't strictly deal with the matter of forgiveness here, but rather something else, the matter of indebtedness and paying that which one owes. Probably I should read it. It is very, very good in respect to teaching just how we should act as brethren with one another, as well as our Heavenly Father. And we believe that it is pertinent to this thought of remembering our Master because of taking an account and finding we come short, that we ask the Lord to forgive us for those things whereby, and not only that, but go to the brother, the sister, if indeed there's anything to be restored. But let us turn to Matthew's, the 18th chapter. We'd like to begin our reading with the 21st verse. Matthew's 18, 21. Then came Peter to him, Christ, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So he begins the parable. He said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven. So this deals with the heavenly kingdom, if you will. Likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant, or that slave, really, if other countings would have it, was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Here we have the parable. And our Lord Jesus, giving it for a purpose in the matter of you forgive if you've been forgiven. But we want to consider something else in here beyond that. And that is a matter of IOUs. Oh, back about, it's been probably 10 years now, more or less. I was in need of a car, and the beloved brethren knew it. In the 2 dear ones, a couple, and offered to lend me the money. $1,000. I accepted it with the thought, indeed, of paying it back. I had gotten as far as paying back all but $430. Meanwhile, the old car that I had, one of the guys I worked with asked if he could buy it. Well, no, how much do you want it for? I said, $100. So he said, okay, I'll give you the $100, I'll pay you $50 now, and $50 when I get my refund check. Well, meanwhile, as I said, I got down to the $430. The beloved couple, they said, hey, you don't have to pay any more. That's it. As far as we're concerned, you owe us nothing. The debt's canceled. It's paid up. I was willing to pay the bank, but I intended to pay the rest, but I was very grateful and thanked him so much for it. So the man I sold the car to for $100, the other car, he gave me the $50, and he said, when you get your refund check, I'll give you the other $50. Well, the refund check came and went. He hadn't paid me anything. Came the next year. Still no $50. And what happened was he used the refund check to buy himself a truck. My wife, after so long a time, she said, why don't you tell him that you would like to have your $50. Well, here I am, having already been forgiven $430, and how could I go to him and say, hey, I want my $50. The man has since passed away. He was a young man. He was heavy set. He weighed over 300 pounds. And, of course, as we understand today, that the weight is too much and it's against you. And it was with him. And he died. And, of course, the $50 remains. What can I say? I've already been given far more than anything that I had given out would expect back. And this is what you've got here in this parable we have. Brother Russell has several articles on forgiveness. He has 2294. He also has 2665. There is also another one, 3801. And one more, 4650. They're all excellent in dealing with this matter of forgiving. And any time there will be a debt, there must be forgiveness indeed, if it is asked for. And this is what we have in the parable. The first the need to ask. Brother Russell has some suggestions on the parable in the interpretation thereof, as you will, the matter of the slaves, the servants, are the consecrated. The king, of course, is our Heavenly Father. And what Jesus didn't mention is the fact that behind it all is a matter of Christ's precious blood. That Christ, having died for our sins according to the Scriptures, without which our original sin, the sin that we inherited through Adam, is not mentioned there, but yet that's behind the full parable. Because as he points out the matter of the one who is forgiven, he has 10,000 talents. Brother Russell suggesting that it's a matter of about $20 million in his day. With inflation, we could go $60 million, $100 million. It's an astronomical figure as far as we're concerned who have very little of this world's good. But then also, having been forgiven that, the suggestion is that we, having been forgiven all through Jesus, that now we also deal with one another. And we owe one another something. And we indeed sometimes feel we should be paid what we are owed, as we have in the parable with this one. And that's what we wanted to consider, is the matter of the dealing one with another, what we owe one another. And I Oh, you. When I came into the truth by the Lord's grace, first time I ever met the brethren was December the 2nd, 1951. I walked into the Jackson class. First time I'd ever seen, met any of the brethren except my mother at home. And to me, every one of them had halos on their heads. I thought they were perfect. Well, in point of time, I realized that they are imperfect, as I was imperfect when I walked in. And therefore, a matter of dealing with one another is a matter of mercy as well as justice. But what we would like to do is consider this matter of that which we owe, love for one another, as to how we can define it, how we can describe it, in what way do we look at it anyway as to our IOUs. When I first met with the brethren, it was a matter of consideration of what you owe me. And the brethren sometimes didn't seem to come, you know, want to really fellowship or anything along this line. And I'd sit in the corner if they didn't come. Well, they owe me that, but it's not paid and so on. And these are the kind of feelings that sometimes I would get, which were wrong. It was a matter of what I owed them rather than what they owed me. And it is to this day. It's not so much the matter of what you owe me, but what I owe you. And whether or not I pay it, this is something that indeed our Heavenly Father is looking at. Because we go to Him asking forgiveness. What do we do as far as one another and our failures to pay our debt? So how do we consider this matter of our love for one another? Well, we begin by understanding. Trying to understand one another. Trying to understand why we do what we do, why we say what we say, why we act the way we act. And that's a matter of understanding. That's a matter almost of understanding our little quirks, our little failures, why we act that way. Whether it may be an affliction or it may be something that we have had, a thorn in the flesh or whatever. If we can understand, if we can know one another well enough to understand, especially if we feel that we've been trodden upon or put upon or things have been not quite right with this brother or this sister for whatever reason. And sometimes in looking at the flesh, and the tendency at times is so that we find ourselves seeing the flesh rather than the new creature. And this, of course, is to be avoided as best we can. So therefore, the better to love one another. But first, basically a matter of understanding. Do we understand one another well enough? If we do, by contact with one another, we must recognize one another. Recognition, that's all important. The scripture we would like to use is Matthew 12:50. Matthew's the 12th chapter, 50th verse. This is our recognition, the same recognition as with the Master. He says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother." This is what Christ recognized, who Christ recognized as His followers. And our recognition of one another is the same whosoever would do the will of the Heavenly Father. That is our recognition of one another. When we partake, we mentioned earlier, it was a matter of having accepting Christ as our personal Savior and giving our all through Christ to the Heavenly Father. And anyone who has done this comes under blood and are followers of Christ, and we recognize them as brethren. And again, when we at any baptismal service, these are the questions that are asked. And any who, having made this consecration, are our brethren. They're under the blood. And that's what it's all about. Under the blood. Trusting in Jesus for all. Thy will is the will of my God. And by His grace, any who fulfill that, they are our brethren and sisters and mother. So it is the need of recognition as fellow members of the body of Christ. Recognizing that, we then must communicate one with another. Now, the scripture we'd like to use here is found in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and the 16th verse. Hebrews 13:16. Now, going back to 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. We can consider a matter of communication. The only true communication is to speak with one another in a matter whereby we can be understood and thereby communicate. If we can't be understood, the communication is not there. There's a breakdown thereof. And so it is that we, by His grace, would try to communicate with one another in the very best we can. And yet communication is something that sometimes it's very hard to come by. Sometimes we're a little hard of hearing, or sometimes we get misunderstood, or we misunderstand, and what we thought was not so at all. And these things do happen, and so we have to be very careful. And it is oftentimes because of that lack of communication, we have hurt a brother or a sister, and we didn't even know it. But if they would be willing to communicate to us, then it is we would try to right the wrong. But it is all a matter of being able to understand one another and to communicate with one another. This is something that can be difficult. I have found in my married life that there are times my beloved wife and I sometimes with me it's simply a matter of she spoke, but I didn't listen. I didn't hear it. And as a result, sometimes I ask her a question. She said, I already told you the answer. But I wasn't listening. This is something that we must learn to do, is listen and be able to communicate with one another. We owe that to one another. I owe you a matter of not only recognition, but to communicate with you. But also, not only a matter of communication, but a matter of explanation. I owe you an explanation of what I believe. Now, the scripture we'd like to use here is 1 Peter 3:15. this is a scripture that the Apostle Peter means exactly what he says. I like the way he puts it. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart. This is what we're trying to do day by day by day. And then he says, be ready always to answer anyone who asketh you a reason for your hope with meekness and fear. Sometimes we find the necessity to ask what our hope is. And I owe you an explanation of that. I owe you an explanation of the hope that is in me and why I received the truth by the Lord's grace through that servant. And again, by His grace, I have it to this day. And I acknowledge that fact, and I rejoice in that fact, because I think that our pastor was for a specific purpose. And the scriptures that back in his day, and we have yet with us today, to us the scriptures clearly teach, remain the foundation whereby the truth that had been given to us that was uncovered by that servant. And those truths I rejoice in to this day, and I'm willing any time to explain it to any who would ask. I owe you that much. We do. I have had the tendency at times to put labels on brethren and kind of categorize. And I speak about a certain brother, and it's almost as though, with this group or that faction or whatever. And that can be dangerous because we would recognize one another as followers of the Master. And indeed, pretty much, it is a matter of, to us, the Scriptures clearly teach. And those things brought out, they are basic truths indeed. I remember our beloved brother Julius Vesnard, precious brother indeed, the statement he made that Brother Russell gave us, the outworkings of the plan as the construction of a building where you've got the framework. And lo and behold, yes, here it is. But to be able to explain to one another how we feel and why, we owe it to one another. We also owe one another cooperation. Sometimes this is difficult. Sometimes it's a matter of we don't quite see eye to eye, and therefore, because of that, we can't cooperate as well as we might otherwise. But we stop and think of the matter and the basic truths, indeed, that we have, and to be able to cooperate in the putting forth of truth, the simple, basic truths of the new heaven and the new earth to come, and the millennium whereby all shall be blessed, and all this through the Master and the church, part therein, the things that can indeed be brought forth and have been and are, as in Brother Russell's day, so still today, while still we have that opportunity. To be able to cooperate in that, I think that's so precious. To be able to cooperate one with another in putting forth the divine plan of the ages, what it means, and the part everyone may have in it. And the scripture is 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and the 9th verse. 1 Corinthians 3, 9. For we are laborers together with God. And with one another, for we are His. I owe you recognition, I owe you communication, I owe you explanation, and I owe you cooperation. But I also owe you an appreciation of what you've done for me. Our scripture is Hebrews, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse. A scripture that we often use and love so very, very much. It is a prayer. And yet is a feeling. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget, and I, by His grace, am not unrighteous to forget. If I pay what I owe you. I appreciate every one of you because you seek to follow and to do the Lord's will even as I am trying. And you are a great help to me. I appreciate that. Even though at times I fail to pay the recognition of that which you have done. When my mother died and my beloved sister Leontine, the friends sent cards and cards and more cards in the presence of the friends. And oh, what a difference it makes. It's unbelievable how it can steal away the sorrow. It helps so much. And I owe you an acknowledgement of appreciation for that. So of any of you, in any way, at any time, as I behold your faces, done anything, said anything, whatever it is as far as I am concerned, help unto me, I appreciate it. We also owe one another availability, to be available. The scripture that we have here deals with hospitality. But we'd like to read it. 1 Peter 4, 9. First Peter, the 4th chapter, the 9th verse. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. You're going to be hospitable. I don't do it as a matter of, well, I have to. But to go a step further than that, not only to be hospitable, to receive one another, but to also be available to help one another at any time that we can. We can't always be available. We realize that. But to the extent we can. Any time that we have a chance to help any of the body of Christ in any way, any member thereof, we want to do it. We owe one another this. If there's any way, we can. I owe you that. I also owe you comfort. There come times when we need comfort. And we need comfort from the brethren. We need comfort from they who have been comforted. We would be of comfort if we can. I owe you that. The scripture I have is in Job, the 2nd chapter, from 11 to 13. We all know the story of Job. Sometimes we sit down and reflect upon Job and what he went through, his losses, how the Lord distort it manifold. But while Job suffered, Job had no idea what the end would be. Now, we won't take time to read those three verses, but they are 2:11-13. But we would simply say he had three comforters, and they were comforters. And not only that, but what they did was unbelievable, because they saw that Job needed comforting. And they came to Job and sat with Job for no less than 7 days and never said a word. That is comfort, because you're there and they know you're there, the one who needs the comfort. Just sitting there for 7 days. It's hard to believe. 7 days. But then it was when they opened their mouth, that's when the troubles began. The comfort was no longer there, because they didn't comfort him then. But if we can, if I can, be with you and be of any comfort to you at all, if it's a matter of not saying anything, but to listen. Sometimes that's all we need, is just to have someone to listen. But I also owe you honesty, to be honest with you. And sometimes honesty can be a little hard, insofar as it does hurt, if it is true and honest. And the scripture that I had here, again, I won't have time to read it. 2 Corinthians 12:15, where the Apostle Paul simply states that the more I love, the less I be loved. And one wonders, why you make a statement like that? Well, it's simply because he was so honest with the brethren that some of the brethren couldn't take it. That's what it amounted to. And it reminds me of our beloved brother Peter Coloman, who was honest and straightforward. And I remember him telling of a time when there was an elder, a beloved elder, who came to him and spoke to him about some of the young sisters co-portraying in an environment that's not good, and asking why he allowed them to do that. And our beloved brother Peter, in his straightforward, simple way, answered, "Brother, I'd rather you did it. This is honesty. An honesty that is not always appreciated. But sometimes that's what is due, and sometimes that's what is needed, and if it is love, then it has to be done the best we can." So come next Sunday, we will remember him. And we don't know how many more. But if the opportunity is there, we'll avail ourselves of it, as one couple, they lost their home, but they still remembered him. We would pay our debts, pay them at this convention, pay them to one another, our IOUs. We owe one another recognition, communication, explanation, cooperation, appreciation, to be available, comfort, honesty, all those things. Oh, no man anything but to love one another. And that is that. We have to understand just what we're talking about, love. Well, we tried to spell it out a little bit. And indeed, by His grace, the best we can to pay our IOUs to one another. May the Lord add His blessing and certainly be with us continually, as we're sure that he will at this convention.